It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Steps back, three.
Yes, sir.
Get a shot up. This is for the win.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two on a Tuesday, August 12th edition of the show. Beautiful day outside. Football right around the corner, and the Green Bay Packers have made a roster move as of just moments ago. They have another new running back. Things are going to get a little bit more cloudy for Amar Johnson there. Big preseason debut for the former Jackrabbit. Definitely has his name on the mind of the Packers front office, but he's got an uphill battle in the first place. Josh Jacobs, Marshawn Lloyd, recent top three-round pick for Green Bay, Chris Brooks, Emmanuel Wilson, and now he's got a former top 100 pick joining the backfield as well, as they have signed Tyrion Davis-Price, former San Francisco 49er, being brought into the Packers training camp as of today. That's the latest movers and shakers from Titletown. We'll get you the full latest from the NFL later on this hour, a season preview for the Baltimore Ravens. Before we go there, though, LFA CEO Ed Suarez will join us LFA 214 Friday at the Sanford Pentagon. You can grab your tickets at the Pentagon box office or on Ticketmaster right now. Let's get into the scorecard. Minnesota, welcome back Byron Buxton. Yesterday, here's Buxton with a long ball to trim the Yankee lead in an eventual loss for Minnesota.
And another sweeper hit high in the air to left center field. This one's got a chance to carry. That one's into the seats, and Byron Buxton does it again, as he has all season long. When the Twins need someone to light the fuse, it's Byron holding the match. His 24th home run of the year, a career-high 60 runs batted in. It's 3-1 Yankees.
So Yankees, long ball's the difference in a 6-2 final. Rocco Baldelli talking about his starting pitcher yesterday, Zebby Matthews, who took his fourth loss of the season.
Yeah, I thought Zebby had actually an excellent start. I would call it an excellent start. He got good results from his slider today. He threw some good changeups. He mixed his fastball and his sinker, his four-seamer and his sinker really well. Gave up some solo home runs, which can happen. Those things, those normally won't be enough to beat you. You try to avoid them, but you're normally going to be enough to beat you. They didn't really get much going off of him. He threw a first-pitch heater to Stanton. He hit it. He threw some two-strike, threw a couple of two-strike pitches that were pretty good pitches to hit. They didn't miss them, you know, to give them credit. And overall, though, he made a ton of good pitches, and he looked very sharp.
Twins manager Rocco Baldelli, Zebby Matthews now 3-4 on the season. Minnesota falls yesterday 6-2. Other finals, Detroit wins in Chicago against the White Sox 2-1. Brewers win their 10th straight game. They're now 74-44. 7-1 victory at home yesterday against Pittsburgh. Kansas City over Washington 7-4. And the Rockies fall at St. Louis 3-2 that final. The Cardinals are 61-59. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Marlins at the Guardians get us going at 5:40. Cubs at the Blue Jays, a 6:05 start time. You can watch that game tonight on TBS. Twins at the Yankees, 5:30 pregame, 6:05 start time right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Other matchups on the way, Tigers at White Sox, Pirates at Brewers, Royals home to the Nationals, Rockies at Cardinals, the nightcap, a 6:45 start time. We'll see preseason NFL football return on Friday night. Titans at the Falcons, 6 o'clock on the NFL Network. Chiefs at the Seahawks in action that night as well, 9 o'clock on NFL Network to follow. Saturday, we'll see the Packers, Vikings, and Lions all in action at noon. Cardinals visiting the Broncos at 8:30, and the Bills and Bears will duke it out Sunday, 7 o'clock p.m. on Fox. Regular season around the corner. Cowboys at the Eagles, that kickoff Thursday night, September 4th. for the big start to the regular season. Now let's talk about the Green Bay Packers. Told you moments ago they made a signing to their running backfield. Tyrion Davis Price comes over, former Niner, joining the Green Bay Packers backfield. There's a lot of running backs on the roster, including SDSU alum Amar Johnson, looking to scratch out a role, roster spot, practice squad spot, something for the undrafted free agent out of Brookings. But there's more concern in the backfield considering the quarterback position today. Jordan Love reportedly set to undergo a procedure to repair a, quote, ligament thing, according to general manager Brian Gutekunst, on his left non-throwing thumb. Here's ESPN Wisconsin's Mark Tauscher on if he's concerned.
Obviously, it's better that it happened now, and it's better that it's his non-throwing hand. But let's not just poo-poo this and say, oh, it's over. Do I think he's going to be back and playing against the Detroit Lions? Yes. Do I think he'll be back next week? You're going to be overly, as Mike McCarthy would say, you're going to err on the high side of caution.
You have to err on the side of caution because of the physicality of the game. I don't really, frankly, care if it's on his throwing hand or not. Of course, if you're choosing, you want it to be the not affected throwing the football hand, which it's not. That's good news. It's on this left hand non-throwing hand for Jordan Love. But the physicality of the position, the reported injury happened when he banged it on a helmet in the preseason game on Saturday against the New York Jets. And that could definitely happen again routinely in the National Football League. Snapping the football, taking a handoff the wrong way, whatever it might be. This could linger around for Jordan Love. The initial reports are that he could return to practice next week. Very unlikely to play again in the preseason. Probably wasn't going to play in Game 3 anyway. But a little bit of a cause for concern for the Green Bay Packers. Latest news there, ESPNSiouxFalls.com. Really big situation brewing out in Los Angeles with the Rams. I really like that roster this year, the veterans that they've added to the roster, and Matthew Stafford at quarterback. But there's an issue. Stafford has a back issue right now. Here's Adam Schefter on if the team is concerned right now about their quarterback status.
I don't think that they're overly concerned, and I think if they had a game this week, Matthew Stafford would be playing in that game. They're just being extra cautious and extra careful, as they should be at this time of the year. I believe that when opening week rolls around against the Houston Texans, Matthew Stafford will be out there playing. Now, again, if there's a setback, that's the concern, I think, that if there's a setback, that it gets worse. And it's a back, so that I guess that always could be. But I'm just telling you, having been there, they certainly do not have a high degree of concern that this is going to be a major issue.
So the Rams don't have a high degree of concern, and a lot of that could be fluffing it up for the media. Of course not. We got it. And behind the scenes, they could be making calls to Atlanta for Kirk Cousins. They could be making a call for elsewhere for other quarterbacks to come in and compete for a roster spot because Stafford's injury might be more concerning. Take it from a former player. How big of a deal is this? Here's Chris Canty on Unsportsmanlike.
Hell yeah, it's time to worry. And it's not the fact that he's not practicing. It's the specific injury that he's dealing with, an aggravated disc in his back. Let me tell sports fans something in case they don't already know. When your back starts acting up, that's the beginning of the end.
Oh, boy.
That's the reality of it. And we're talking about a player that is going into his age 37 season and who's dealt with a lot of injuries throughout his career.
So that's the latest there. Chris Canty, very concerned about the L.A. Rams quarterback. And you probably should be at this point. To back a little bit different, going to linger around. It's going to be a little bit different as well, even than a soft tissue, hamstring, quad, whatever, high ankle sprain. This is a back. And after all, very physical sport, could flare up at any time. Not so sure how to think about Matthew Stafford's injury, but that's the latest there. More now from Adam Schefter. The Browns quarterback situation probably got a little bit more interesting in the last week because Shador Sanders came out in Charlotte and looked pretty darn good. Two touchdown passes. Now Schefter tasked who will start for Cleveland this week and moving forward.
I still think right now that Joe Flacco is going to wind up being their starting quarterback on opening day, but Shador Sanders gets his say every week, and he'll get his say again.
And we'll see about Shador Sanders and the Cleveland Browns and if Cleveland's going to keep four quarterbacks on the roster, five quarterbacks on the roster. If you recall last year, Cleveland kept four QBs on the roster and then immediately cut one, signed somebody else immediately after that deadline cut down. So we'll see exactly how it forms up in Cleveland this year. If it's me, I keep Gabriel, I keep Sanders, I keep Flacco. I see about a trade for Kenny Pickett. If not, let him go. And Snoop Huntley, same deal. See about something to move him. Let him go. Keep him on the short list. Say, hey, if we have any injuries or anything like that pop up, we'd love to have you back. Since you know our system, you've been so darn great here to Pickett and Huntley. But I think it's Flacco. Good veteran, legend of the playoffs 2 years ago. You know what he is. He's not taking you to the Super Bowl this year, but Flacco can go out there, win games, and he's the best, most knowledgeable veteran on the roster to teach the youngsters how to be, how to act, and how to win in the NFL. Now, on the other side of the coin here, you got to keep your draft picks. At least you would think. Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, unless they're absolutely positively inept at practice, which we have yet to see. Pure rampant speculation there. Nothing to indicate that that's the case. I think Gabriel gets kept. He's a third-round pick. Sanders, a fifth-round pick. Plenty of upside. You keep those guys, because if you try to stash them on the practice squad, they're going to get scooped up in a hurry from a lot of teams that are looking for a young quarterback to come in, learn, wait in the wings, and see what happens. That's the latest there from the NFL. Rounding out the scorecard now, your NASCAR race coming up this weekend is at Richmond, Sunday, 6:30 on USA. PGA Tour action will begin on Thursday, the BMW Championship. WNBA basketball, Golden State all over Connecticut last night, 74-57. The Valkyries are 16-15. And tonight in the WNBA, Wings at the Fever, 6:30. Liberty at the Sparks, a 9 o'clock go time on NBA TV. Pretty cool stuff up from Brookings to lead off our ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number two. As always, for a better local banking option, check them out in person in the 605 or online at ReliaBank.com. South Dakota State Athletics preparing to honor area veterans, partnering with the Veteran Tickets Foundation, VetTix, to offer complimentary tickets to Jackrabbit home events during the upcoming season. The number of tickets available may vary by game and can be claimed by creating an account at vettix.org. If you're a veteran or know one that would like an opportunity to go to some Jackrabbit home contests for free, vettix.org, VETTIX.org. In addition to partnering with VetTix, SDSU will continue to host a number of military appreciation games throughout the upcoming athletic season, including the November 1st football game against Indiana State. The Augustana Viking football team has a lot of expectations this year. They came in at second in the NSIC preseason poll released last week, and they're number 23 in the initial AFCA coaches poll announced yesterday. Vikings will open the year at home against Missouri Western on August 30th. Earlier this month, the NSIC coaches voted Augie to finish second in conference, and in addition, quarterback Gunnar Hensley, selected as the NSIC South Division Preseason Offensive Player of the Year, and Logan Leonard was named NSIC Preseason Defensive Player to Watch. Your top five here: Ferris State, Harding, Grand Valley State, Slippery Rock, and Central Oklahoma. Area teams in the top 25, Minnesota State, the favorite, if you will, in the preseason poll in the NSIC, is in at number 11. Augustana, the only other NSIC team in the poll outside of Bemidji State, at 16. Augie at 23. Others receiving votes category: Duluth there, midway down, probably the 30th, 32nd ranked team in the country. USF Cougar football, a lot of expectations. I'm very high on that program this year. A lot of returners. Not in the cut right now. Not in the top 25. Not in the others receiving votes category. But with a strong start, won't be long before we start seeing some USF love in the AFCA poll. Lastly here, rounding out your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number two, Fever coach Stephanie White said yesterday that All-Star guard Caitlin Clark is progressing from an injured right groin, but is still not practicing. Clark has not played since suffering the injury in the final minute of a victory over Connecticut back on July 15th. Coming up on a month now, team officials have already ruled her out of tonight's matchup against Paige Beckers and the Wings, and there is no timetable for when one of the league's most popular players could return. White saying after practice yesterday, no return to practice. She's been able to get a little bit more of her off-court running with all of her body weight. It's really building up from doing minimal to building some endurance to do long periods of time. She's been able to do a little more on the court in terms of how she moves, but not into practice shape. Sounds like a long way away, and that's tough news for Indiana, a team that's looking to posture themselves for the postseason, playing good basketball without Caitlin Clark, but with her in the lineup, one of the teams to beat in the WNBA, but it doesn't sound like it's an imminent return on the way for star Caitlin Clark to the Indiana Fever. That's the latest there for Caitlin Clark, the WNBA, and your ReliaBank headlines of the day. As always, proudly brought to you by ReliaBank. Better local banking option, ReliaBank.com, or in person here in the Sioux Empire. When we come back, we've got a CEO joining us. LFA CEO Ed Suarez joins us. They've got LFA 214 at the Sanford Pentagon this Friday night. Doors will open at 5 o'clock, action at 5:30. Ed Suarez joins us next on this Tuesday, August 12th edition of Overtime, right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
You want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you on this Tuesday, August 12th edition of Overtime. At the end of the week, LFA will be back in town at the Sanford Pentagon. Doors open at 5, the event a 5:30 start time. Several local elements starring out there in the Pentagon. And Ed Suarez, LFA CEO, joins us right now on the ESPN hotline. Ed, welcome back into the show, my friend. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Thank you for having us, as always.
It's going to be a lot of fun to have you in town again, the Sanford Pentagon. 5:30, the official start time. You can grab your tickets right now for LFA 214 on Ticketmaster or swing by over your lunch break right now to the Sanford Pentagon box office. A big night on top. Ed, what has made the LFA and Sioux Falls a pretty good partnership so far?
Man, it's always been a great partnership. You know, when we came to Sioux Falls back before, right when they, formed the Athletic Commission, you know, Dave Martin was a big part of why we came to Sioux Falls, and he's always been an intricate part of why we keep coming back. And, you know, he introduced us to Sanford, and Sanford has just been the most incredible partner, one of the best partners we've had. It's absolutely amazing. Number one, the facility is incredible, but plus all the staff. And, you know, during the pandemic, we got together with Sanford and put together a protocol, and they helped us with that. And we were able, UFC and LFA were the only events in the world doing live sports during the pandemic. And the main part behind that, the main reason we were able to do that was because of Sanford. So we're extremely grateful for everything that Sanford has done for us and continues to do. And we just absolutely just love the town of Sioux Falls.
LFA CEO Ed Suarez is our guest here on this Tuesday, August 12th edition of Overtime. LFA 214 heading into town on Friday. Doors will open at 5. You can grab your tickets right now at the Sanford Pentagon box office or online at Ticketmaster.com. This is the ninth straight year that LFA has hosted at least one event here in Sioux Falls. And certainly a lot of local fighters will dive into that here in just a moment. But Ed, you mentioned the city and the support and the athletic commission, but what stands out to you personally, and what kind of feedback do you get from fighters and organizers about the venue, the Sanford Pentagon? Pretty special place to host any sporting event.
Oh, it's an incredible venue. I know that it was, designed for as a basketball arena, but I got to tell you, these basketball arenas work perfectly for mixed martial arts. You know, you were able to get, over 4,000 people inside that arena, and it still seems extremely intimate. There's not a bad seat in the house. It's state of the art, and man, we absolutely love the Pentagon.
The main event coming up on Friday night, Lucas Fernando against Philip Latu. You also got a co-main event and other area fighters involved. Devin Clark, Brown Bear Clark, and Brett Bai, former South Dakota State wrestler. A couple of local guys out there. Sioux Falls native, Devin Clark, by the way. When you're organizing these events, obviously, you might try to cater to your audience, bring in some local fighters here. What stands out about Devin Clark and Brett Bai coming up for their fights on Friday?
Well, that's part of the reason we travel all around the United States, is to give some of these local athletes an opportunity to fight on the big stage. And someone like Devin Clark, who basically, became our champion quite a few years ago, went to the UFC, had a great run in the UFC, and to have him kind of coming back at home fighting for the LFA in Sanford, at the Sanford Pentagon, is just, it's great. And he's been an incredible ambassador to the LFA, and we're happy to be able to have him back on. And Brett Bye, you know, I believe it was, he's just starting off his career. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's got that background in wrestling, and looking forward, and we have high expectations of what he's going to be able to do.
And Brett Bye going to be fighting in a prelim match against Isaiah Skidmore, a fighter out of the Midwest with a 1-1 record. Bye out to a 2-3 star. Devin Clark, Sioux Falls native, is 14-9. He'll get Bevan Lewis, who is 7-6 and unranked right now in his class. There's a couple of undefeated fighters going at it as well. Max Metzger going to get Steve Collins, 5-0 apiece there, and a 2-6-0 fighters going at it. So a lot on the schedule. And again, the main event coming up on Friday night, Lucas Fernando battling Philip Latu. That going to be the main event coming up on Friday night for LFA 214. And when it comes to the event itself, for somebody that's never been before, that is thinking about coming out Friday night, sell it to us. What makes LFA MMA so special?
Well, bottom line, mixed martial arts is an incredible, sporting event to attend. To me, it's the most exciting sporting event to attend, just simply because it's just so much excitement. And mixed martial arts, you never know what can happen. Yes, there are such things as favorites, but the great thing about this sport is one punch can change everything. And that's the beautiful thing about it. To me, it's the most exciting sport. I've been to World Series games. I've been to Stanley Cup games. I've been to all the great championships, and I got to tell you, mixed martial arts events are still the most exciting. And this Friday, there is just we've got two world title fights on the line. You know, we've got a middleweight title fight and a light heavyweight title fight. So I just think that you're going to get a ton of fights. I believe there's a total of 12 fights on the card. So I mean, it's really an action-packed, fun night. And whoever you come out with, if you come out with your spouse or come out with a bunch of friends, you're going to have a great time. And there's always great fights at the LFA.
And again, Ticketmaster.com, Sanford Pentagon box office for your tickets right now. Blue Rock Bar and Grill right across the street from the Pentagon will be hosting a pre-fight party with food and drink specials. Ticket options available. You can also purchase suites and cage-side VIP tables. The number to dial, 605-312-7900, Ticketmaster.com, or swing by. If you're on your lunch break today, tomorrow, Thursday, hop on over to the Pentagon box office. Grab your tickets for LFA 214 Friday night. Doors at 5. Event starts at 5:30 at the Sanford Pentagon. That's Ed Suarez, LFA CEO. Ed, always great to talk to you, my friend. We look forward to hosting you again here on Friday. Thanks for the time.
Hey, thank you, and thank you, as always, for all the support.
Going to be a big, fun event, LFA 214, the second LFA MMA event here in Sioux Falls this calendar year. Going to be a fun Friday night, 5 o'clock for the doors, 5:30 for the event. If you get off work a little bit early on Friday, head over to Blue Rock Bar and Grill. They're going to have food and drink specials beforehand, pre-fight party for LFA 214. Again, Sioux Falls native. Fighting on Friday night, Devin Clark, Brown Bear, Devin Clark, Brett Bye, former South Dakota State Jackrabbit wrestler, also on display. And the title fight, the big main event, is going to be Lucas Fernando against Philip Latu for a vacant light heavyweight championship. Big stuff there. LFA 214 Friday night at 5, event at 5:30. Grab your tickets, Ticketmaster.com, or at the Sanford Pentagon box office today. We'll take the break, come back with the latest from the NFL season preview for a team that I am exceptionally high on for good reason, the Baltimore Ravens. Will they win it all this year? Will they finally get over the hump? Will Lamar Jackson get some other kind of hardware instead of MVP trophies in his trophy case? We'll see. But the Ravens preview coming up next on Overtime.
Stream us online. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Midway through hour number two on this Tuesday, August 12th edition of Overtime. A reminder, LFA 214 coming to the Pentagon on Friday. You can grab your tickets right now at Ticketmaster.com or in person at the Sanford Pentagon box office. It is a tough time of year in the NFL. It's an exciting time of the year, for being honest. We get preseason football storylines, Hard Knocks is out. We'll be keeping waiting on and wishing for that regular season opener that's going to be a couple Thursdays from now between the Eagles and the Cowboys in Philly. But it's a tough time of year because of news of suspensions, injuries, and other nuggets from the NFL. That's where we're going to start here on the show, as Texans tight end Brevin Jordan suffered a right knee injury during yesterday's practice and has officially been placed on season-ending injured reserve. Jordan had to be carted off the field yesterday after initially trying to walk it off. The injury happened during an 11-on-11 drill as quarterback C.J. Stroud threw a pass down the seam to his tight end. Fifth-year player jumped and could not corral the pass and came down and was injured on the play, out for the season, as Jordan was competing for a starting role, and now that starting job likely firmly in the hands of veteran Dalton Schultz. They've got Cade Stover, former Buckeye, as the second stringer, and other names there, Dalton Keene, and one-time Iowa Hawkeye Luke Lachey, also on that roster. In addition to having multiple injured receivers, the Niners have one player at the position who is facing a suspension under the substance abuse policy. According to Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com, last month, wide receiver DeMarcus Robinson pleaded no contest to a misdemeanor DUI charge that sets him up for an automatic 3-game suspension. We saw that recently with Jordan Addison of the Vikings after he got his trial completely and totally wrapped up, if you will, for that wet reckless charge. Concluded the legal proceedings there, NFL slapping him with a 3-game suspension. DeMarcus Robinson, former Ram, current Niner, likely to be out for 3 games to start the season as well, although not official as of yet. We're waiting to see exactly when and if that suspension comes down. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs aren't going away anytime fast. Pro Football Talk show shedding some light on their motivation this year. Chiefs went to the Super Bowl for the 5th time in the last 6 years last year, but that hasn't stopped people from wondering if the team will finally take a step back this year. Andy Reid saying on the Up and Adams show, "You understand, because there were so many close games. But that's the National Football League. I was proud of the guys and how they handled those. When it's all said and done, it's winning the game. We have winners, and they figured it out. I was very proud of them for that. We don't listen to all the noise. If you do that, you're going to go crazy. I don't care about the noise. Let's go win the game." The Chiefs have continued to do just that. I don't care about every single offseason. We talk about what chink in the armor is going to pop up for Kansas City. Is Kelce distracted with his girlfriend? Is Mahomes distracted with his kid and his wife and everything else going on? Is Andy Reid going to retire? Is Steve Spagnuolo going to go away? What about L'Jarius Sneed leaving the roster? What about Tyreek Hill off the roster? It hasn't mattered yet, so I don't think it's going to matter moving forward for Kansas City. Eventually, when Mahomes is done playing or Kelce hangs it up and Mahomes regresses a bit, then we'll talk about it. But for now, I'm not crumpling up the Chiefs at all. Still among the very best teams in the AFC and in the NFL, and for good reason. And I like what they've done, building out that roster with the defections every offseason. L'Jarius Sneed, Tyreek Hill, to name a few. They continue to find ways to reinvent themselves. And yes, Travis Kelce is old. He's not gone yet. Still a really good player. Mahomes is not old yet. Nothing compared to the other guys we see in the leagues, Rodgers and Stafford and other old guys. Mahomes still very, very young based on his career. I don't envision them going away anytime soon. Well, the Eagles Pro Bowl guard Landon Dickerson got some good news yesterday. He will undergo a minor procedure on a meniscus injury to his right knee in the coming days. Dickerson then will be considered week to week with the goal of returning for the regular season opener. We were talking and the national media was talking about Dickerson being out for the year. And now we're talking about a minor procedure to address a meniscus issue to be back for the season opener. That is not good news, but great news for the Philadelphia Eagles and Landon Dickerson. Not going to miss the season. Might not miss any regular season time either. That's the latest there. Well, we do have an update on the Niners receiver core a little bit further. DeMarcus Robinson likely to be suspended for the first 3 games. And Brandon Ayuk going to miss a good amount of time. Kyle Shanahan, the head coach, was sure to add the necessary caveats that things can change with a serious injury such as a torn ACL and MCL in Ayuk's right knee. But here's what Shanahan had to say about when he could be back. I kind of view all those guys around the same time, whether it's Mustafa, whether it's Rourke or Brandon, two other players on the roster. They're all at different stages, but where they're at, I always see them around week six, which could mean that by week 10, it means that we should be week five. But that's the area where I start thinking about it, which is a long way away. So Brandon Ayuk will miss a decent amount of the season this year. Kyle Shanahan, the head coach, saying maybe week six. We'll see. Week six return for the Niners receiver, Brandon Ayuk, who is their star receiver now. With the recent defections on the roster, Ayuk has firmly slid into that starring role. They've got Juwan Jennings. They've got Ricky Pearsall, DeMarcus Robinson. But Ayuk is that guy when he's on the field, paid as such, held out last offseason. Debo's off the roster. It's a big season for Ayuk, and he won't be on the roster playing in football games until maybe around week six, week seven for the San Francisco 49ers. Lastly here from the world of the National Football League, James Cook is back to returning to practice amid his contract dispute with the Bills as of today, appearing to at least pause the star running back's hold in training camp. Cook was in full uniform, began the session fully participating. He did not participate in the last 4 days of practice and also missed Buffalo's first preseason game. Bills head coach Sean McDermott said he expected the player to return to practice earlier today, adding that, quote, things have changed. We've had conversations with James, good conversations, as I mentioned before, and the information we're getting is that he's moving in the direction of practicing today. The 25-year-old was in the end zone 18 times last year. Is that inflated? Sure, because the year before that, he was in the end zone 2 times. So meet me in the middle there. Double digits, feasible this year for James Cook, really good young player. But I understand where the Bills are coming from. Physical position, want to work out the contract, team control, potential franchise tag. We'll see what Buffalo decides to do. That's their side of the argument. And for James Cook, realizing how big of a piece you are right now, you're playing out the string on a very, very limited contract in Buffalo. Physical position, injury risk, going crazy for James Cook. He deserves some sort of little beef up in pay. We'll see what Buffalo opts to do. Maybe they can do a 2-year deal, a little bit lower than the franchise tag, some security, a win-win. But it feels like Buffalo at least has some sort of messaging out there to James Cook to inspire him to get back to practice. And that is a really good sign for Bills fans out there. Let's do our team preview of the day now. It is the Baltimore Ravens. And last year, they did the most Raven thing possible. They looked really darn good throughout the season and went 12-5, won their division, and exited early from the NFL postseason. Head coaches John Harbaugh, known very well in those circles, 18 years in Baltimore. His head coaching record, 172-104, including a 13-11 postseason record. Not a lot of movers and shakers for Baltimore. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Just fix playing in the playoffs, please. Wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins, cornerback Jaire Alexander, brought in backup quarterback Cooper Rush, and tackle Joe Noteboom comes over from the Rams. The departures, they lost guard Patrick McCarry to Jacksonville, cornerback Brandon Stevens, and linebacker Malik Harrison also leave town. Last year, blind test here. If you were to tell me that we're talking about a team that was first in yards and third in points offensively, 10th in yards and 9th in points defensively, I'd say, oh, that team probably won the Super Bowl. That team probably got to their conference title game. That's how good they are. Early exit for Baltimore, Lamar Jackson and company yet again. Ravens did not get there, but really good on offense and defense and took care of the football. They were 10th in the NFL with a +6 turnover margin. Could be better, will be better in 2025. They have the 9th hardest schedule this year. Divisional outlook is strong, but very winnable from a Baltimore perspective. Playoffs, just like Philly we did last week. Yes, virtual lock for the postseason in Baltimore. Would be very surprising to see the Ravens not be in the postseason field in 2025. Now, the over-under win total at DraftKings is tough to swallow here. 11.5 is the number right now. The consensus aggregated number at Vegas Insider for the over-under 11.5. I'm not scared. Not scared of the big number. Sign me up for Baltimore, another strong regular season. And I think this team is good enough with the veteran additions, Jair Alexander, DeAndre Hopkins, the growth of some youngsters, Derrick Henry, the scariest dude to ever suit up in a running back uniform, is going to be ready to go, ready to rumble, and the Ravens are going to be there in the end. Baltimore over 11.5, 12 or 13 wins feels pretty darn easy to suggest given the divisional superiority of the Baltimore Ravens and that team in black and purple. Baltimore season preview, 12-5 a year ago, probably more the same, if not a little bit better, in 2025. That's the latest from the NFL. When we come back, the latest from the wacky world of sports, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and a first-of-its-kind boxing match, MMA match coming to the White House. Not going to go on. The good, the bad, and the ugly. An update on that news item coming up next on Overtime.
Don't miss a moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Well, sitting here just pretty darn stressed out on a Tuesday, if I'm being honest, this Tuesday, August 12th edition of Overtime, because the Green Bay Packers will not stop getting hurt. Jordan Love, thumb injury. We had Jaden Reed yesterday with a sprained foot, and now two different media sources from Green Bay as of moments ago waxing poetic about just how cursed this team is with injuries. Romeo Doubs, now walking inside with athletic trainer Nate Weir, was doubled over for a few minutes but walked off with his hands on his lower back. That's according to Rob Domofsky. Andy Herman waxing poetic a little further, saying wide receiver room is being brutalized right now in Green Bay. Deshaun Watson. Christian Watson, pup list. Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed, already out. Savion Williams, rookie, looked to be off to the side with something earlier, is not returned. Romeo Doubs just went out, looked like a back injury. Not good in Green Bay, and I'm going to say it right now. Maybe it's time you make a call to Amari Cooper. If things are bad, if one of those is a serious injury, you at least open up the possibility. Just like the Vikings will open up the possibility of exploring a veteran acquisition on the heels of Rondale Moore's injury, Green Bay should at least consider something because this is already out of control. We're not even to week number two of the preseason yet, and Green Bay pretty dinged up before the season even gets going. Not a good sign for Green Bay. Somehow, someway, though, that didn't fit its way into the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's hit that now on this Tuesday edition of Overtime.
Who's been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and is now setting a bad example. Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
You know, planning a new outdoor space can be hard. Don't get left out in the cold. Your next project today will be a success with the help of the pros at Hardscapes Outlet. Don't let your project turn out bad or ugly. Get some good advice and good planning today by making a trip to Hardscapes Outlet, hardscapesoutlet.com. Well, good news first here. The opening night of the upcoming NBA season will feature the Houston Rockets at the defending champion Oklahoma City Thunder and the Golden State Warriors visiting the LA Lakers. The games will be played on October 21st and will be televised on NBC. ESPN will tip off its coverage with two opening week doubleheaders on October 22nd. Cleveland will visit the New York Knicks, and Cooper Flagg and the Mavericks will play host to the San Antonio Spurs. And there will be five games between ABC and ESPN on Christmas this year, including Minnesota visiting the Denver Nuggets. That'll be a 9:30 start time. Massive games on Christmas. Cavs at Knicks, Spurs at Thunder, Rockets at Lakers, Mavs at Warriors, and the nightcap. A lot of eyeballs, a lot of ears on Minnesota at Denver. 9:30 Central start time on the Christmas holiday. Well, other good news, not sure if this is realistic, but good news from the mouth of Dana White. UFC CEO Dana White said a fight night at the White House on the 4th of July next year is, quote, absolutely going to happen. and he's scheduled to travel to Washington later this month to meet with President Donald Trump and his daughter Ivanka to discuss logistics for the event. President said last month he wanted to stage a UFC match on the White House grounds with upwards of 20,000 spectators to celebrate 250 years of American independence. White telling the Associated Press, it's absolutely going to happen. Think about that. The 250th birthday of the United States of America, the UFC will be on the White House South Lawn live on CBS. We'll wait and see if that eventually comes to fruition. Well, bad news from the hockey world. Considering one of the brightest young American stars, Florida Panthers star Matthew Tkachuk said he remains undecided about getting surgery before the upcoming season, but did acknowledge he could miss significant time should he undergo a procedure. The 27-year-old revealed after the season that he sustained a torn adductor muscle and a sports hernia while playing for Team USA in the Four Nations faceoff in February, missed the final 25 games of the NHL regular season, returned for Game 1 of the Panthers' first-round series against the Lightning, had 23 points in 23 games during the playoffs, including 7 points in the final against Edmonton, to lead the Panthers to their second straight Stanley Cup championship. Nobody ever accused hockey players of being not tough, but that's ridiculous. A couple of big injuries there. Torn adductor muscle, that's in the groin quad area, and a sports hernia. During the Four Nations faceoff in February, all he does is come back for the postseason, lead his team to another Stanley Cup title. And lastly, things are continuing to be ugly between the NFL and one-time Raider coach and Buccaneer coach John Gruden. The Nevada Supreme Court yesterday sided with the former coach Gruden in his lawsuit alleging that the NFL leaked damaging emails to the media before he resigned from the team in 2021. In a 5-2 ruling yesterday, justices did not determine whether or not the league had leaked Gruden's emails, but they found that the league's decision to force his complaint into arbitration proceedings overseen by the NFL commissioner Roger Goodell, the target of Gruden's civil lawsuit, was unconscionable. That is the quote, unconscionable. As a former employee, Gruden should not have to be bound by a provision in the NFL Constitution mandating arbitration for such complaints. That's according to the court. And the most recent news here is the NFL has, of course, as they always do, and as everyone always does these days, appealed the decision. So this will go on and on and on in this tango, this dance, this ticked off tango between John Gruden and the National Football League. That's the latest there. Good, the bad, and the ugly. Brought to you by Hardscapes Outlet and the Knife River Corporation. That is our show. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk some ABCA first serve that'll come to the Pentagon before too long. And also, we'll bring in Dan Hayes of The Athletic to talk about the Minnesota Twins, the new look Twins, some positivity. Who's making waves? Who's showing out? Who's looking good for the Twins lately for the remainder of the season? Dan Hayes will join us tomorrow on the show. Hope you can join us as well when the next edition of Overtime rolls right back around right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.